Hello, can everybody hear me okay this evening? Just come off of mute and just let me know that you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Great to hear some voices. Well, welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. I've got this call off of mute. So if you have any noise going on in the background, just press *6 on your phone, mute your individual phone. That way we can keep the lines open for everyone this evening. I'd like to have this be as interactive as possible. I must tell you that last Tuesday night was one of my favorite all-time Tuesday calls. We've been doing this for nearly 200 Tuesday nights, I believe, something in that neighborhood. That's a lot. And when you came out last week and asked questions and let me answer those questions, that is the best way for me to serve. Now, somebody just came on, and we now have an echo on the line, so the last person to come on, if you'd press *6, see if we can lose that echo. Just here we go. Anybody who might be on a cell phone or one with hands-free, there we go, a speakerphone. I think we got it. Thank you so very much. When you want to come off mute to ask a question, we will happily deal with the echo while we're answering your questions. Well, thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. We are going to talk about self-esteem this evening. This is either, depending on how you want to look at it, the last quality that we talk about or the first quality. We have gone through connection with people, mental creation, physical creation, discipline structure. Last week, joy in the journey, and now self-esteem. And we are either wrapping it up or we're getting started with, here is really the bottom line, that we want to be whole and complete. We want to be confident and valiant, and peaceful and deliberate and unconditional. That is our ultimate goal. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Almost everybody who's seeking wealth wants the wealth. Why? So they can have peace of mind. They don't have those kinds of stresses. That's why we think this way. Well, if we have peace of mind, regardless of our financial conditions or our relationships, if we have peace, if we internally are okay, then we can stand in any firestorm and be all right. If we're okay, we can show up totally available to serve another person and be okay. This is really where we're headed. I love the Bible, love thy neighbor as thyself. Og said in scroll number 2, after going through all of the discussions, he said, and most of all, I love myself. For when I do, I will zealously inspect all things which enter my body, my mind, my soul, and my heart. Never will I overindulge the requests of my flesh. Rather, I will cherish my body with cleanliness and moderation. Never will I allow my mind to be attracted to evil and despair. And it's interesting he put both of those in the same paragraph, because I really believe that when we go into that dark dungeon of despair, we step out of any hope for light. Evil and despair. Rather, I will uplift it with the knowledge and wisdom of the ages. Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Never will I allow my soul to be complacent and satisfied. Rather, I'll feed it with meditation and prayer. I'm here for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Never will I allow my heart to become small and bitter. Rather, I will share it, and it will grow and warm the earth. I will take all of my experiences I've been dragging around in my sack. I will empty my sack, take them out one at a time. Is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? And I'll engrave it in my heart. Rather, I will share it. That which has been a burden will be a blessing. And it will grow and warm the earth as we begin to listen. And we become safe. Because we're listening to understand, not to respond. We're asking empathetic questions. that demonstrate that we do understand where they are. Take down walls. Create relationships. I will greet this day with love in my heart. And I'll go back to the first sentence in that paragraph. And most of all, I will love myself. Dr. Hartman spoke to this truth and the importance of us loving and respecting ourselves. That it starts with a reverence for life itself. Just a reverence for life, starting with our own life. What a beautiful concept. That when we think typically, well, I'm self-absorbed, that's not loving ourselves. That's being ego-driven. To love ourselves is to be real. And you'll write these three words down tonight because we'll be talking about them. Real and genuine and authentic. Without the need to impress and pretend and feel shame and fear. This is the most difficult task in our mortal existence, Dr. Hartman said. And the highest level of maturity. So when we are okay with ourselves, when we're whole and complete, and most of all, I love myself, I'll zealously guard what I take into my mind, my body, and my soul, my heart. When I'm in this space, being real and genuine and authentic, I am exercising the highest level of maturity. Wow, that's an interesting thought. Well, I'd like you all to have your assessments handy, so if you don't have it up on your computer, make sure you go to augmandino.com, top right-hand side, log in, your username and password, and let's go into these six measurements, because in these measurements we find some answers. Now, we know that one of the greatest causes for any challenge that you may be having in this top right-hand side of your assessment, self-esteem, starts with the bottom right-hand side, mental creation. If we are overwhelmed, if we are wanting to be perfect, if we have created expectations for how our life should be, and then we step into joy in the journey and it's not happening, and that grateful measurement might be struggling, or that realistic measurement might be struggling, or others, it is human nature to turn inward and ask, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And when we turn inward, we start to see these measurements, whole and complete, confident, and valiant, start to turn colors. So take some notes, then I want to address any personal questions you have tonight. This is a very sensitive area. You know, we smile and say, if I said half the things to you that these thought processes say to you, could we still be friends? I want to be very tender tonight, because I shared in the book, The Observer's Chair, that this has been my challenge, starting with what happened to me as a child, and things since then, this has been my challenge. As I wrote in, today I begin a new life. The accumulation of wealth was to make up for the absence of this. And then came the loss of all of that, and with it, me. And almost took my life. And then you build a life based on self-esteem, being real, genuine, and authentic. Let's go through these measurements. The very first one, whole and complete. The mathematics of this particular measurement is significant for us to note. There is nothing in this mathematics about doing. That's called an extrinsic concept. This is all intrinsic. Mathematically, it's intrinsic, valued intrinsically. It's an Aleph index 1 to the power of an Aleph index 1. That's Cantor's transfinite calculus. It tells us something beyond value that is infinite and non-denumerable to the power of something infinite and non-denumerable. The question that's being asked with this measurement is, can you see Do your thought processes see you? It's priceless. Because you and I are looking at this. I can see myself as priceless, but do my thought processes see me as priceless? Do they see my uniqueness? My inherent goodness just because I'm a human being, not based on what I've done or what's been done to me, has nothing to do with this tangible existence and the doing of anything or the believing of anything. The question is, do your thought processes simply see your infinite, non-denumerable value? So take a look at whole and complete and just see what color it is. This is the most important measurement in the assessment. And I'm going to emphasize, you don't have to do anything. This isn't based on how well we've done anything. There's nothing in the mathematics about doing. It's just, can you see your pricelessness? Do your thought processes try to talk you out of it? Because when they do, when this starts turning orange and red, they are going to have you start becoming conditional. You're only priceless based on what you've done. Well, doing, again, has nothing to do with this value. You're saying, why is it here? If I don't have to do anything or believe anything to be beyond value, then why is it even being measured? It's being measured because when our thought processes don't see this, then we kind of start out behind the eight ball. We're behind the curve. Oh, my goodness. We've got a negative dialogue going on before we even get started in the day. Tonight, if I say nothing else to you, nothing else, I just want you to step back just for a moment and just hear that dialogue in that chair over there. And I want you to believe about you. Is turn around and look in another direction. I want you to look up. Turn around and look up. The word is divine potential. Divine potential. Just hear that noise behind you. I can tell you in the last week, I've been in this chair looking at divine potential, hearing that noise back there. Look back over that, over my shoulder. Just look over there with me. Look over your left shoulder back there. What is it saying to you about what you did last week or the week before or last year or the decisions? And did you make good ones or bad ones? Or did you anticipate something or not anticipate something? What'd you do earlier? Have you been through a bad relationship or a divorce or a split up or a failed business? Or what is it back there? What's screaming at you back there? It's making you or wanting you, wanting, not making, but wanting you to be conditional about you being priceless. I'd like you this week to become conscious. Every time you're reflecting on your life in terms of I'm not where I'd like to be, say why and see if you don't hear those thought processes. Just listen to them. Playing out every decision you've ever made. Now, are those important for us to learn from? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they have nothing to do with this measurement. Nothing. It does not matter where you've been or what you've done. Today, I begin a new life. Today, I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of the failures of mediocrity. Today, I'm born anew. I'm new. And my birthplace is a vineyard where there is fruit for all. For just a moment tonight, be willing to embrace your uniqueness, your pricelessness, your divine potential. Just embrace that. Now the second measurement, confident. Confident has everything to do with, can you shut that door, please? A confident has everything to do with all of the extrinsic things in our life. Our appearance, our possessions, our finances, our relationships, career paths. That's what this measurement's all about. Here I am, this priceless, intrinsic being, and what I'm asking, this math is asking, do all of those things add value to me, or do they take away from my value? Do they add to my value, or do they take away from my value? Just from I'm having a great time with a Division I football team. We're looking at a human being who might be 6'4", 300 pounds, incredible athlete. That's part of this extrinsic measurement. Now, interestingly, that athlete is comparing himself against someone who's 6'5" and 215 or 315 and maybe runs a little faster 40-yard dash and might be feeling less than. I find that fascinating. This is the discussion about your clay. When we talked about your clay last week, of holding your clay, this is the measurement about your clay. When we look at grateful, it's are we taking it and creating the most we can with it? Here is my personal look at it. In terms of me, this is my clay. Do I see value in it, or do I have a tendency to compare mine against somebody else's? If your measurement's orange, it just tells me that there's some comparison going on. That at a deep personal level, I feel less than. Now, the only way we can feel less than is to have an expectation of something greater than, or to be looking at and comparing ourselves against someone else. I learned a long time ago that when I really get to know another human being fully, and I know what's going on in their life, that I will take my challenges. I will take mine. Everybody looks okay, but everybody's got a challenge in a certain area. I'll take mine. Now, it's interesting I would say that, because the truth is, we don't get any other options. As I mentioned last week, the two options are living in resentment and resistance and frustration, or taking what we have and creating the most we can with it. And we're not giving up when we do that. We're finally getting about creation. We are unique. Og Mandino talks about this in scroll number 4. Just a beautiful statement when he says, vain attempts to imitate others no longer will I make. Instead, will I place my uniqueness on display in the marketplace. I will proclaim it, yea, I will sell it. I will begin now to accent my differences, hide my similarities. So too will I apply these principles to the goods I sell, salesmen and goods, different from all others and proud of the difference. Now, is it true that some people can run faster than us? The answer is always yes. Is there someone with a more slender, beautiful physique? Most likely. Is there someone who might have a nicer home or more money in the bank? it's very easy to get into this comparison game. However, they've got what they have and their own set of challenges unique to them, and you've got yours. And this life isn't about who gets the most gold. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not an advocate that says money's evil, because money is really great. It buys lots of opportunity. But I can tell you in the last few days, Ramona and I have been having a very tender conversation about what it would be like to have left this planet yesterday. My two elderly parents, bless their hearts, it's coming. We're going to turn 60 in June. That's part of the conversation that happens when you turn 60. You start thinking about those kinds of things. And if we had died yesterday, and we believe in a life after this one, whatever you believe is fine. I just know we don't get to take any of this with us. None of it. So if you're going to be focusing on things that are important, focus on those first. Your relationships, your friendships, what you can learn, and begin the process today. We are never too old to begin anything. And how many of us have been convincing ourselves that we are? And 5 years from now, we'll look back and say, if I'd only done what? If I'd only done what? There may be some truth in this orange measurement. There may be some truth that I need to shed some weight. No question. But I can do one of two things. I can compare myself, beat myself up over it, or I can put together a plan of action and proactively do something about it. Those are my options. So take a look at that orange measurement and just say, where am I beating myself up? Where is it? Is it appearance? Is it finances? Is it relationships? Is it what is it in what is it that I'm beating myself up about? And then say, okay, when I sit in that chair over there and I surrender my free will, yep, that's what I do. That's what I did when I was there. Yeah, I got it. Ate too many hamburgers or french fries or whatever it might be. But I can choose to sit back over here in the observer's chair and make a different decision. So your second assignment tonight is to hear in what area you're beating yourself up. And instead of continuing that process, get deadly honest about what is and what can be done, and then intentionally create, begin the process of intentionally creating a shift. Now, ladies, I know that 85% of you, according to statistics, suggest that you'll take the very best from 10 women. You'll create a composite woman, and you will beat yourself up for not stacking up. That's not something you want to do. You create the most you can with the clay you've been given. I think we just had somebody come off of mute. Just join us. And we've got an echo back on the line. So if you just got on the line or just came off of mute, could you press *6? That would be most helpful to take you off of mute.
Hi, Dave.
I'm going to pause right here. We've talked about two very sensitive measurements. One, where we don't have to do anything, believe anything. We are simply because of the fact that we are human beings beyond value, period, whole and complete. Can your thought processes see that, or are they being conditional? And if they are, this week I want you to hear what baggage they're dragging around, blaming. What are they saying? That the cause of whatever is happening in your life that you don't like, that unmet expectation, is because you did this, or you did this, or you did this, or this was done to you, or this was done to you. And just know that whole and complete has no requirement. And when you own it fully, you own fully your pricelessness, you will show up in every facet of your life feeling differently about yourself. You'll be stronger. more real and more genuine and confident. If you beat yourself up over something that's tangible, appearance, finances, what, just see if you can hear it, and then start putting together concrete plans for creating the most you can with what you have. And stop focusing on what isn't, and start staying in creation. Because when you're in creation, you will spend time with your true self. And the more time you spend with your true self, the more healthy your self-esteem will become. I'm going to pause here and just see if anybody's got a question or a comment or any way that I can serve anyone who's on the phone regarding these two measurements. Let's make sure that we understand them clearly as they apply to you. Is there anyone who'd like to come out tonight?
Dave, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
How are you?
I am doing so well. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, your comment about directed to women, about how we make this composite woman, that is something that I, when you said that, I thought, you know, I remember doing that years ago when I was a young mother, a young wife, and how I could never do enough to please everyone, trying to be so many things, and I don't believe that I live too much like that now, but I just wonder how many young women out there that may be caught in that trap like I was years ago, and it's not a very pleasant place to be. It does not make for happy children or husband or happy myself.
Did you find that not only could you not do enough to please everyone, you probably couldn't get enough support from the outside to fill the void either?
Oh, no, absolutely could not. Could not. And I, you know, occasionally can, when you mentioned that, and I reflected back on that of myself at that time. But unfortunately, because we think that so many other people expect things of us, and so we do try to be. We try to be so much more than we can't even begin to be possible to be all of that.
Yeah.
And I recognize that now.
Thank you for raising this question, because you've inspired me to go in a little slightly different direction. Have everybody go to the fifth measurement. The measurement is deliberate. And Betty, deliberate is tied directly into confident. Confident is asking, do our thought processes have a deep appreciation for all of those physical characteristics? Or are we feeling less than something we would like to be? So that's the other side. Deliberate is asking us, what happens when so many things get on our schedule? Now it's about where you are headed. With as this measurement turns orange, there's an interesting conversation that starts to occur with those thought processes. If everybody will sit here with me in the observer's chair and just look over at that other chair over there and listen to what it's saying. Because it wants you to believe that you should sacrifice your time, your energy, and even your well-being to serve everyone. Now, I'm not going to suggest to you that we don't serve one another, but this begins to become an unhealthy requirement on self, where we serve to a point that we are so depleted and exhausted that our confident measurement can suffer. We can start beating ourselves up because we never can give enough. That's what I was hearing you say, Betty. Never do enough to please everyone.
And that's where I was many years ago. And I'm sure there's young mothers out today like that.
And some that aren't so young. Some who are still trying to prove their worth by the service they provide. They can't say no, no matter where they are. They can be so busy they can hardly breathe, and they still take on one more thing. Because underlying all of this is still trying to find a way to be okay. And maybe in doing, I can prove somehow to them and to me I'm okay. And all we end up doing is absolutely exhausting ourselves. Absolutely exhausting. Just take a look at your assessment, everyone, and just see if deliberate is orange. Because if it is, I'm not asking you to take anything off your plate. I just want you to look at everything that is on your plate and ask, why am I doing this? Do I love my children? Yes, I love my children. Okay, then these are things I do because I love them. Not because I'm trying to prove that I'm okay as a mother. I do stuff in the PTA. Why do I do that? Well, if we say because nobody else can do it as good as me, then maybe we need to step back and let somebody else take a shot at it and do it as good as they can. And let that be good enough. Because if we have this belief that nobody else can and we've got to do everything to get it done right, we'll destroy ourselves in the process. So just take a look at that measurement and see what it's saying to you. And next time you are being asked to do something or someone's seeking a volunteer, simply ask yourself, how much do I want to do this? Truly want, not to prove something, not to just show how good a person I am or somehow feel better about myself or get everybody's acceptance. Am I doing this because I really want to do that? You may do everything you're currently doing. Just the shift alone from feeling obligated or needing to prove something to choosing to do it will take pressure off of the situation. Just ask yourself one more question. Do I ever get into a situation where I'm working on a project and I ask myself, how did I get here? I am so tired. I got a million other things waiting for me. I'm going to step right out of this, right into the next, and right into how did I get here? And then be accountable for having made the decision. Go, wow. Step back from those thoughts over there and say, I surrendered my free will to them. And they were worried about making sure I looked okay and people respected me and felt good about me. And I listened to them and I did it again. I agreed to do something. Oh, my goodness. Here I am. Now, don't slingshot to the other side. The other side is you just cut everything off. I'm not going to do anything. I'm tired. That's not healthy either.
Dave?
Yes?
This is Robin.
Robin!
You're kind of talking all around me tonight, but I'm currently in a situation that's my thought process is just a little bit different. My thought process is I have to do this so it won't fall through the cracks. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Can you give me an example of something that you believe you have to do so it doesn't fall through the cracks?
Sure. I'm in the situation you're talking about right now. I'm somehow found myself in the middle of a major fundraiser for one organization in one city, and instead of being chair for an event in another city, my co-chair dropped off and kind of left me holding the bag. And they're both kind of behind schedule. So I'm the hamster on a wheel trying to keep all the balls in the air, so to speak.
Do you have other responsibilities in your life?
Absolutely. And I have some other people, but they don't seem to be stepping forward in order to keep things rolling.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting that when we get into these kinds of fundraisers for charitable organizations that we end up performing as if we're getting paid as a job? Do you ever get frustrated with those who say they'll show up and don't?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. when in fact they may have their priorities in proper perspective.
While I'm trying to change my color.
Yes. So what we do in this situation, this is interesting. Every nonprofit organization needs a Robin. But when Robin tries to do it for two of them, that gets a little scary. That's just a little scary. Now, you've made the commitment, and you're going to keep your commitment, right?
Absolutely. I'm just counting the days.
I would count the days. I would execute.
Uh-huh. Right.
And next time...
That's longer.
Yeah, next time you make a little bit different decision. Ramona and I serve on a board together. And I can tell you that it's really easy when you're willing to do to be put in the chair of really big things. And the next time around, they want you to chair again. I say, no, this time, let's give somebody else the experience, and I'll do this piece. And it's important that you do that. The challenge with this measurement, it's going to be worried about how it could reflect on you, the organization. You may feel passionate about the nonprofit and its cause. And I'll ask you to do this, Robin. Make a list of everyone who's in your life, from companions to children to grandchildren to friends, and make sure you have your priorities in order in terms of who's getting your attention, because there's nothing worse than giving tremendous attention to a public cause at the expense of those things I was talking about a moment ago that we get to take with us, so to speak.
Yes.
Those things that are most important. We don't want to sacrifice them to do that. So just take that next time, you'll know, or just do one at a time. Don't get in a position where you got to do two. And be accountable for how you got in this place. Because you said, you can't let it fall through the cracks now. But just ask, why did I agree to do that? Well, I'm extremely capable. Yeah. You get to be Superwoman. You get all the accolades from it. I don't know if that's the case, Robin. I'm saying that so other people are on the phone listening may go, wow, that was me.
And then you end up paying
a heavy, heavy price for it.
Right.
I don't know if that helps you.
My foe actually is the way the schedule fell with the two, but that's neither here nor there at this point.
Yeah, it really isn't. Okay, you get to measure these things out. And next time, when you're sitting there thinking about being the chair, there are some really glamorous things about being in that position. You get to call the shots, plan it, put it together, right?
Yes.
Next time you're thinking about how exciting that will be, balance it with what you're feeling right now.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Because the mind races ahead to all the excitement, and it never builds in the poopy diapers. It never does. Except for reality has a tendency of always delivering that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That metaphor was for some moms on the phone, so with little kids. Yeah. Just build in the poopy diapers and go, oh, yeah, I remember. I don't want to think about those. I just want to think how fun it would be to take this project and make it happen. Okay? I balance that, and then I make the decision. If I make the decision, I make it fully aware of both the glory and the poopy diapers, of the ability to control it and the poopy diapers, whatever it might be. And then I make the decision. Then I don't have to get in the space you might be in now where you're going, I'm counting the days. Wow, that's tragic, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Did that serve you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet, because you're in there now, right?
I am.
Yeah. Now, there are some times when people back out of those kinds of commitments because it could be damning or damaging to a family. Don't ever make a sacrifice because of a commitment like that, because you made a bigger commitment prior to that, a more important commitment in your life. So just make sure, I'm speaking to everybody on the phone right now, said, well, I have to keep the commitment at the expense of breaking one that's more important. It becomes a decision of good and great. Sometimes the better good versus something else that is good. But now you're there. I sense you'll keep it. You'll get through it. And then you'll use the wisdom knowing this measurement. Is your measurement orange, Robin? Deliberate? Yeah.
Yes.
Next time you'll know that it's giving you inaccurate information. Just know that. Be aware. Step back from it and go, whoa. It's trying to talk me into do this. I need to now exercise a heightened level of awareness and measure everything more carefully instead of just jumping in because it wants me to or thinks I should. Who else is going to do it if I don't? Just listen to it. That's what it says. And it talks you into it, and then you get to live in regret during the whole process because you listened to it. You surrendered your free will to it, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. Well, welcome to the imprisonment. And next time you get paroled, be very careful not to commit the crime. Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. That was fun, Robin. And thank you, Betty. Anyone else that has a question or comment about, we've added now one more measurement. I'm just about to add another one, but I want to make sure we've got everyone's questions addressed.
Dave?
Yes.
Ahead.
Hi, Dave. It's Bev.
Sam?
Beverly.
Thank you, Beverly.
Hi. You just brought a huge aha to me, and I think it's my line that's foggy here. Sorry about that. But, you know, when you brought your book out on self-esteem, I kept, you know, thinking, oh, God, it must be my self-esteem. Why, you know, I haven't got this, I haven't got that, and I'm sitting here looking at the section, and everything is green and blue, and deliberate is red. And I'm going, whoa! So thank you, everybody, for that last mix and explanation. It's like, wow. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. So if it's bright red, you just know there's a dialogue getting you to sacrifice. And again, it doesn't mean you don't do those things. It just means that you do them for a different reason. Choose to.
Yeah, or have a choice,
You have a choice. You do have a choice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Beverly, I think we've got a little echo from your phone. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anyone else before we go to the next measurement? Yes?
Yes, Dave. Dave, this is John in L.A. And,
hi, John in L.A. Thank you for your email last week.
Oh, of course. Yes, thank you for serving us the way you do. And let me comment on that right now. I'm always on these calls, the silent listener, because I'm commuting in heavy L.A. traffic. And when you hear someone go off the line and then come back on, it's me because I've lost signal, but that doesn't mean I'm not right back on as soon as I can. So you serve us every single week, and if I can speak for everyone, let me do so. We may not come out and talk every time or hardly ever, but I think that each one of us is absolutely growing in our own way by what you say to us and how you help us when we do come out. And what I wanted to say tonight is this. You mentioned the construct that ladies make. You know, they take five women and measure themselves against that. It's not just ladies who do that. There are several men on the phone tonight, and I think that we can relate to that as well. I know personally that I fit that category. I don't have the advantage of having my assessment open in front of me because I'm driving, but as I recall, that part of my assessment is brilliantly read. So men can fall into that trap as well, and I'm certainly there, where I'm overextended in so many categories. You know, I'm being a man, having two grown sons, I feel like, well, I've got to provide for them. I've got to be the money man. I've got to, just like when they were young boys, I've got to make sure that their needs are met financially. So I'm always doing this, I'm always doing that. Just today I got an email from one who needs to make a flight with his family, and of course I'll pick up the tab. So I'm overextending myself that way, not just with my family, but with my social groups as well. it always seems to be something that I always say yes to, and I'm out of time. I'm out of energy for all of this. I'm just really inundated with it. So it's not just the ladies who can fall into that trap. Even not just the young ladies, older men as I am, can be there too, Dave. That's exactly where I am with all of this. I'll tell you, I need to let go. Now, there is the tendency, and you mentioned it, sometimes in frustration we might say, hey, I just want to stop, I'm going to go away, I'm not going to do anything anymore, absolutely no more for me. But we can't really do that. I have to find a blend somewhere between going overboard and just being the supply man for everything and doing no more, retracting and serving myself and my wife more than we're doing now. So I just wanted to throw that in. It's not just women. I think many of us men have that same problem too.
Oh, John, how wise. Everybody pick up on the subtlety between the women. Now, this isn't true of everyone, but the statistics tell us that when they're picking the very best from 10 women and making the composite woman, it's almost always about physical appearance. When the men are doing that, it's about finances. And everybody got that? Now, some women are in that space where they're the provider or they're driven by those business tendencies. I don't want to be a chauvinist by that comment. I just want you to feel the difference between the two, because John's absolutely correct. Guys do it, and we do it based on how other guys are living. Well, he's a great golfer. I don't know how to play golf that well. Or he's in great physical condition. Or he's set up. He's already retired. He's got millions, and he never worked that hard. Or he inherited from his father. Or we've got all kinds of stories that we tell, and we almost all feel less than, because no matter where we are, we're not stacking up to those 10 people that we've created our composite superhuman person out of. This is great to know. John, thanks for adding that piece, because that is the comparison game, primary comparison game for guys. Now, some guys are into physical appearance more so than others, but primarily finances. Great comment. Thank you. And Beverly and John, both of you sent me emails last week, and we got done, and Ramona and I went in the theater room and just to kind of unwind, and we talked for a little while, and those emails came through, and I couldn't respond to them in that room. I did the next day for both of you. But Ramona could attest that I got very emotional, because we come to these Tuesday night meetings really determined to create something precious, and you are now all participating in making that possible, because this really is where we live. This dialogue we're talking about tonight is the deepest and often most deprecating, self-deprecating, destructive dialogue that we have. You know, we might not like our life, but in this area, we don't like ourselves. We don't like our value intrinsically or how we look. And we start to try to prove ourselves. I want to take you now to another measurement that's in here. We'll work our way toward the middle in a moment. It's the last measurement in self-esteem. It's called unconditional. Now, it's blue or green most of the time.
Dave, excuse me. Can I say, this is Ronnie in Louisiana.
Hi, Ronnie.
Deliberate. I'm red. Whole and complete blue. Confident green. Unconditional blue. I'm just baffled. I love each day step into people's lives and to be a giver. I don't know that I'm a receiver as much as I should be. I'm wondering where this measurement's coming from. I deliberately step in people's lives. It makes me feel good to help people. I thrive in helping people, but I'm whole and complete. I don't have to do that. Why is that so red? I'm puzzled.
Was peaceful green as well?
Peaceful orange.
Orange, okay.
And then valiance red. and all of the other measurements are blue and green. I'm baffled by this. I want to help people get to the next level, and I'm put in situations just about every day to assist. It's a good feeling. When
unconditional.
Not,
what's the measurement, John, Ronnie? What's the unconditional measurement?
Unconditional is blue.
Okay.
Where am I? I'm just in a whirlwind here.
Okay, everybody take a big deep breath. Ronnie, I know your assessment. Are you okay if I talk candidly in this environment?
Yes, you can.
Okay, because it could serve everyone.
Yes.
We've talked about deliberate. And we've taken deliberate pretty deep. And you're asking me to take it just a little bit deeper because Beverly said hers was red too. All of this is self-esteem. It's asking us a couple of questions. Can we see? That's one piece. And two, where might we look for validation? Where might we do things? I want you just, I don't need to be right about this, Ronnie. I just want you to explore the possibility that deliberate is red because this is one of the places where you get validation by what you do to serve other people. It's not just serving. You really do feel good by doing it, and there may be a need to feel good by doing it. In other words, the person gets the benefit of the service. The person gets the benefit of the service, and you really do get to feel good about yourself. That's an interesting piece to explore.
Now, Dave, I've often wondered why I couldn't move a mountain. I got the faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain. And I realized the reason I can't move them is because I have to climb them. And when I climb these mountains, I'm usually climbing with someone.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I can't get to the top of the mountain.
Well, let's talk about Valiant for a moment because several people on the phone have Valiant Orange. And Valiant can go in two different ways. When it's under-focused, and I know from my side, if I look at a person's assessment and the coach's query tool, which is what we use, I know which direction it's going in. I'm going to just speak now. Ronnie, just be with us as I'm talking so you can see which one fits you, because I'm going to talk about both sides of Valiant.
Okay.
Valiant is about our belief systems. We're now looking at ourselves and valuing ourselves based on our belief. Our belief systems. It is not uncommon to feel like we are falling short of how we believe we should be showing up. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what creates this. And since we're in this kind of a private coaching session together tonight, I'm going to take you pretty deep, if that's okay, because somewhere in here we'll find the answers, all of us. Here's the first issue. I want you to look down the bottom right-hand side of your assessment, everybody, and look at the measurement honorable and goal-oriented and coachable and pragmatic. See if there's any orange or red down there.
Honorable is green.
Yes.
Goal-oriented is blue. Pragmatic, orange. Coachable did not used to be orange.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
for everybody who's on the phone, just take a look and see where you are. Mm-hmm. I know where you are, Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't the side that affects you. Valiant, when it's yours is over-focused, not under-focused. Under-focused, one of the things that may cause me to feel as if I'm not being valiant, which means I am not honoring my belief systems when it's under-focused, to believe like I am falling short of my belief, is when one of our beliefs is that we need to be perfect. Now, this is just for those on the phone who've got honorable in the bottom, orange or red. Just take a look at it. if there's a belief, self-directed can also be perfection-driven. Pragmatic can be perfection-driven. There's a lot of perfection that can be down there and expectations for how I should be showing up. Because we know perfection's impossible to achieve. Now, excellence is possible, but perfection is not. Not by your own doing. I happen to be in a belief system where because of my belief in Christ, he can make up the difference and I can be perfected because of him. That's my belief. But as a human being, we all have frailties. We all fall short of the mark of perfection. So, if perfection's the requirement, just look down there and ask yourself, gosh, have I been expecting perfection because I may be beating myself up for falling short of something that's impossible to do? That's an interesting challenge. If that's true, you're going to want to, as we go back through these measurements, we're going to go to connection with people first, then we're going to go into mental creation. When we get back into mental creation next time, and we're doing the rehearsal, mental rehearsal, and inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, problem solving, you're going to want to take that on at a new level and start getting passion ignited and taking action and creating goals that are attainable and reasonable. That if Honorable has said, no matter what you do, it's never good enough, unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable, the end result of that is that we get to question our own worth, worthiness, ability, and in this case, if Valiant is orange, we're now questioning our own belief systems. We feel like we're violating, that's the word, violating our own belief systems. Wow, talk about questioning our value. Now, that's one cause of it. The second cause of this...
Well, stay with me. How can it be whole and complete and confident, but yet question...
Well, I haven't gotten to your measurement yet, Ronnie, because you're on the other side. Okay. I want to clear up the left-hand side first, then I'll go to the right-hand side, and hopefully I'll be able to answer that question for you. And so just bear with me for a moment, because I want to cover everybody's Valiant measurement, because it's kind of split between the two. So... if you feel what I'm feeling, what I'm saying is true, then you know which side this orange measurement fits or red measurement fits for Valiant. The other piece, and this is a really subtle piece, this is for anybody who's in a sales position, who may be promoting something where there is internally, privately, secretly even, a concern that I am selling something, such as a business opportunity, to someone, and I have not yet realized it in my own life. I'm selling them income potential, what they could do in this business, but I personally have not experienced it at that level. And there can be internally this belief that I am selling a dream and living a nightmare. Now, that's an extreme, but so may not be that extreme. But I am, in a way, running a risk of lying. And it offends my spirit. It offends my spirit. Now, just like perfection is impossible, and we beat ourselves up for missing that mark, which we will every time, we're also going to want to look at this discussion in terms of what my beliefs are. And do I need to reframe this? Because I may be with a great company and incredible products and a place where people have and are succeeding. And I can look back and say, I'm not telling them something that I couldn't do. I'm sharing something with them I've chosen not yet to do. Perhaps I haven't been as disciplined or made those phone calls or done the work. That's true. Maybe I've been going through a journey to get to this point where I'm more comfortable talking to people and picking up the phone and making phone calls. And you're going to want to start looking at what good has come out of this process for being involved and not what you haven't done. It'll do two things. One, you'll start feeling better about yourself, when you're sharing. And two, I'm not just trying to speak in code, may sound this way, but you'll start sharing differently. You'll start emphasizing something different. We emphasize money because we think that is what everybody wants. But there's a reason why they want money. It's so they can feel better about themselves. And if, in fact, you're feeling better about yourself because your association with great people and great products and health-wise you're feeling better, those have tremendous value. And we may have disvalued those pieces. So we're selling something in addition to that we haven't yet experienced and disvaluing what we have experienced. So step back if that might be a piece for you. I know there's a number of people on the call tonight that are in the network marketing profession. And I see this measurement orange almost 90% of the time for the very reasons I'm sharing. And the longer a person is in the business without realizing their expectation, income expectation, the more they feel a conflict between selling it and actually living it. So just go back and start owning everything that has been a blessing to you and talk more about those pieces. You'll find people fascinated. It might sound like, you know, how much money do you make? They might ask. Well, I'll be happy to share with you the greatest thing I've received so far. Would that be okay? Well, sure. When I started this, I couldn't pick up a telephone and have this conversation. I was paralyzed. I can tell you, I got all excited about the business and the potential because I know the products are great. I have that experience with them. I know the income opportunity is real because I've got friends and associates who are having that experience. But for me, I first had to deal with my fear. And the very fact we're having this conversation is evidence that I am starting to do so. And this I know, that as I fear less and love more, I'm going to find people who will be blessed by these products. And the income will come. But this is what I've gotten from it. Have you been afraid to talk to someone on a phone? What kind of opportunities have you lost because of that fear? How would you like to take it on? Not have another year go by in your life where you have that fear. I'd just like to root that one out. Can you imagine what it'll do to every other part of your life to not have that fear?
Dang.
This conversation you get to have with great confidence. So those of you who are in sales kinds of organizations where you recruit people, if you've got an orange Valiant and it happens to be under-focused, just do that reframing. Now, Ronnie, for you and all of those who have this over-focused, this is what it means. It means that I get some of my value by emphasizing, being outspoken, verbalizing my belief system so people can hear them. Now, tie that Valiant. If anybody's in that space where you might be in a classroom, like at a church, and you got to raise your hand and say something. Now, I don't want to discourage anybody from sharing in this classroom. That's not the purpose of this. Just know that when Valiant's there, we can't stop from speaking our beliefs because it is where we get our value. We get our value from this. We're not questioning our infinite worth, as you said, Ronnie. Whole and complete is okay. Or our ability. We are getting our kudos from what we can speak. And with deliberate, our kudos from the service that we provide. Are either one of those things negatives? And I say no. Not at all. So long as we don't need external validation to be okay. Just know there's an emphasis in those areas. And so there may be a time when we will say, you know, I need not to say something right now. Right now I just need to let this rest. I just need to let that rest and not say something. I need to let that person speak or that person speak. And especially when you know everything on the topic. But I could serve them by sharing it. And sometimes it's best for us just to be still. And so if you have it, if anybody here has Valiant over-focused, just in the next time you're in a meeting, and not here because I want you sharing here, when you're in a meeting where you feel inclined or impassioned to say something, just sit back. Because I can tell you, I'm more likely to be over-focused in Valiant than under-focused. I'm more likely to say something. And I often have discovered when I don't, and I reflect on why I wanted to say it, is I wanted people to hear how much I did know. That's an external validation, is to be respected for a knowledge level. So if it's over-focused, just take a look at that piece. I don't know if that does anything for you, Ronnie, tonight, but that's what it means. It just means that I get validation when I verbalize my beliefs. Not a negative. Just be careful. There might be some times when it might be too much for somebody. It might be overwhelming. So just be conscious that our need to speak does not equate to their need to hear.
Dave, I'm going to step out on a limb here. Do you think that these measurements has anything to do with what's keeping me here and my family in Utah? 7 years. It's difficult.
Ronnie, I would rather answer that question privately. And not because I have a painful answer.
Yeah.
But it's really a tender personal question.
Yeah.
And it's really complex, and I know the complexity. I would just give Nikki a call in the morning and ask her to schedule 15 or 20 minutes for us to visit before the week's out. Let me share with you some ideas on that subject. Would that be okay?
Fine. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I love you, brother. You know that, right? Let's all go. We've now covered all but unconditional. I started to go there a little while ago. Let's go back there for a moment because there's a few who have the unconditional measurement, orange or red. The unconditional measurement is all about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Can we forgive ourselves when we've made a mistake? Now, the word guilt means that we feel bad about what we've done. The word shame means we're starting to feel bad about who we are. We're starting to equate our behavior with our worth. Now, that doesn't mean we don't all do things that we need to correct. There's no question about that. It's just when this starts to turn orange or red, we're losing our ability to keep that perspective between what we do and our worth. And we start to carry the burden on our shoulders of the guilt and then the shame. We will want to be forgiving. Og in scroll number 5 speaks some words that are so sacred. Sacred because you and I both know his history, and I know it intimately. That when he was a raging alcoholic, he lost his first wife and his first daughter, and he was estranged from them for a lifetime, his whole life, even when he was famous. And he talks in this scroll about, I'm going to seal up the container of life this day, and I'm not going to let one drop spill upon the sand. I'm not going to spend one moment mourning yesterday's misfortunes, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. But why should I throw good after bad? And when this unconditional measurement starts to turn orange and red, There's going to be a tendency to throw good. That's today, a fresh day. Today I begin a new life, to take this new page of our book, of our life, to write something magnificent in it. We take it and we stain it with what we did yesterday or the day before. Because we bring that guilt or shame, if it's even more pronounced than just guilt, into the present. And we mess up the day. We destroy another day, and then another day, and then another day. He says, can I take back the evil that was spoken, the blows that were struck? Can you imagine him writing these words? This is probably somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning, because he wrote these all in one night. The blows that were struck, the pain that was caused. No. Can't take them back. Now, we're going to talk next week about how to take them out of this sack we've been dragging around and put them in our heart so we can use them as reference points to more effectively serve another person. Now they can have purpose. Now we can find joy. Now we can heal our soul. So that's where we're headed. So if anybody's got Whole and Complete that's red, we're looking over our shoulder at these things. If Unconditional is orange or red, where we're carrying guilt and shame because of them that we can't release, it's time for us to come to next week's process, absolutely committed to finally shift this stuff out of our sack, because it is destroying us at the most deep intrinsic level. If this measurement is red, there's anybody on the phone with an unconditional red, I just want to take you to a space where you can hear what I talk about in the observer's chair, that there could be a time when we've had these things that have happened in our life where we're saying, you know, I don't want to take my life. I don't want to commit suicide. But you know, if I got T-boned by that semi and was killed, I'd be okay with that. This is a very subtle, passive-aggressive way of devaluing our very intrinsic worth as a human being, saying the world might be better without me on it. If anybody's in that space, one, if you're even thinking about it, I want you to get some professional help tonight. Tonight. Because those thought processes, if we entertain them long enough, we might actually reach a point where we'll cross over. We'll have a disassociation from reality. We may actually commit it. And, oh, what a tragedy. I've dealt with in just the last few weeks the tragedy of families when they've lost a loved one to suicide. It's just so devastating to everyone because they don't know. They wish they could have known or done something. We don't want to do it. It's terribly selfish to do that, no matter how bleak it is, no matter how dark it is. Because I know that when I woke up the next day after having gone to that space, it's a little tighter squeeze. I was still angry. But that's when things started to turn around. Make the decision tonight to live. All of us. Whether we've wanted to do it, or we're okay if we did die, or if we're just not fully living, which is a form of suicide. You know, they say we die at 45 and we're buried at 85. If we've just given up, that's a form too. It is time for us to take these pieces and use them differently, to see them as a valuable asset to serve another human being and not something to weigh us down and burden us. Now, I don't want to wear this out for those of you who aren't in that space, but if all of us could be here for those who may be and just send some energy their way so that tonight we leave this class in a different place. We just don't go there. And we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves. And we say, I'm going to use that experience. Because the first time that we use it to serve another person and we lift a burden, there will be purpose. There'll be a purpose. There will be joy in your journey. And much needed healing in your soul. Well, that brings us to one of the major causes of self-esteem challenges. We've talked about unmet expectations, which is by and far the number one cause. Unmet expectation, we're frustrated with life, and so we're beating ourselves up. Ramona just reminded me we've gone 16 minutes over. I hope everybody's okay. I'm just wrapping up, so hang in here with me for a second. We've got comparison game. We spend our life wishing we were someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. Totally disassociated from who we truly are. We've got traumatic events, and they often need therapeutic intervention. Abusive relationships, abuse experiences as a child. Getting processed through those can be damning. And secrets can be. Where we've got an addiction, like a pornography addiction or alcohol addiction or an eating disorder. Those all require professional intervention from a therapist, therapeutic intervention. Have the courage to surrender, because if you've tried and can't overcome, which is almost always the case in that kind of an addiction, there are people trained specifically for that who can assist you in that process so you can start to feel you again. You again. The real you. And let's come back next week ready to take on connection with people at a different level. Because everything we're beating ourselves up about, everything, are the very things that will help us more richly connect with another person if we'll stop carrying them in the sack behind us and start wearing them in our heart as a ready reference. So let's come back next week absolutely determined to make that shift so we get them in our heart so that we can serve more effectively. Because when we are serving more effectively, we are spending time with our true self. And the more time you spend with your true self, the more healthy your self-esteem becomes. Real means to create relationships. Genuine comes from the word genus. It means to own your genius. Own it. Bring it fully present in the service of another. And authentic is anthos hectic. It means be your true self. Embrace your goodness. Act on your own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason, because you want to and get to and choose to. No more impressing, no more pretending, no more fear, and no more shame. It's real, genuine, and authentic. Peace of mind, totally available to serve. Enjoying a level of success few experience. Hardest task in our mortal existence, and the highest level of maturity. Well, thank you all for being here tonight, and thanks, everybody, for sharing. Before we sign off, is there anyone who's got a pressing question they do not want to have the night end without us addressing? Is there anyone who's got one of those that's just burning in their heart before we close?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, it's Chelsea. What scrolls should we listen to, and in what order? This week.
Oh, tonight? This week? Thank you. Yes. You're listening to scroll number 4. I am nature's greatest miracle.
Okay,
oh, just
good.
Take
thanks.
The scroll in. That'll be scroll 4. That'll be this week. Now, next week, we're going to go back to scroll number 2. I'll greet this day with love in my heart as we go through connection with people. But this week, remember, the homework assignment is 1, to look back over your shoulder and see what it is that's causing you to be conditional about that which requires nothing. Nothing. You're priceless. The only question that's asking is, can your thoughts see it? Or are they making your worth conditional on behavior? That's whole and complete. And the second assignment was, with confident, if you're beating yourself up because of appearance or possessions or whatever it might be, to go, okay, let me get concrete about what it is and what I can do about it. Let me put my plan together and start executing. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be back to setting goals. We can set goals around the very things that you're beating yourself up about. If you want to lose 20 pounds, then let's put a plan together and let's take it on and let's get it off if that's something that is important to you, so we don't just keep beating ourselves up over the 20 pounds. Or whatever it might be. For me, it's a little bit more than that, but that's okay. So those are your two homework assignments in Read Scroll number 4. Come back next week prepared to take those things you've identified that are causing you to be conditional, those things you're beating yourself up, let's get them out of the sack, let's get them in your heart, so that we can start becoming more effective in our connection with people. Thank you, Chelsea. Appreciate that. We okay for the night? Everybody all set for the week?
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Well, Ramona and I share our love with you. We truly do love you. And wish you the very best week of your life. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
You too, Dave.
Thank you.